everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, bringing you the backstage conversations I have with other lead singers. I guess, to be fair, there's not a lot of backstages right now. Still in full lockdown, especially up here in Canada, where we still can't buy products at the store or get haircuts or drink a beer at a bar, inside or out. We can still do nothing. But hey, we are getting there. We're getting back to maybe a time when we can do these backstage conversations in person. But it's all good because today we have a great episode. Mike Hrenica of The Devil Wears Prada is here. His second time on the show, but it's been a few years. And this is a cool time for the band. They have a brand new EP, Z2, which stands for Zombie 2, a follow-up, a sequel to their critically acclaimed and fan favorite EP, which came out 10 years ago. And this rips. This rips. It's out now. Don't sleep on it. It is so good. So much fun. Mike and I talk all about that. We talk about hockey, unfortunately. We talk about all the best things. I love this man, and I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. Before we get into it, couple reminders. I want to make sure that you know that I have taken this thing onto Twitch. Now, it might be slow on Twitch for a couple weeks, but that's good. It'll give you a chance to catch up. Head over to twitch.tv/ShaneTold and give it a follow, okay? Lots of fun stuff happening on there. Live podcasts. I'm doing some songwriting. All the best fun stuff on Twitch. It's a great platform for music these days. It's not just for video games anymore, for real. Head over there. If you want to support the show, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. Lots of bonus material and a great community of other fans of the show. Access to merchandise, more access to me, etc., etc. Head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And I know you know by now, but I want to make sure every single Friday there's a podcast called New Noise. Me and music guru Mike Howell talk about the top releases coming out. We go in depth. There's so much stuff that you don't know about. I promise you, you don't know about all this great music coming out, but Mike does, and he shows us the way, and we have a great conversation every single Friday. If you haven't checked it out yet, make sure you do. There will be one coming. It's always a good time. Anyway, let's get into it. This week's episode and my conversation with Mike from The Devil Wears Prada. Mike, what's up?
Hi, Shane.
Hey, man.
If we talk about anything that isn't hockey, I'm going to be severely disappointed.
Well, I'm fine with starting right with the hockey talk, man, because I know you're a huge Pens fan.
It's true.
And I have a deep connection to the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. Goaltender Max Legacy, huge Silverstein fan. Did you know that?
I did hear about that recently, actually. That's so, so awesome.
So he
I love it.
He came
first shutout recently.
I know. Well, so he came up in, I think, 2016, 2017 with the Vegas Golden Knights, their first year when he had, whenever that was, 2017? Sounds right. I don't know. What is a year anymore? And he came up and they had all these injuries. So he, you know, was like the fifth or sixth, you know, on the, whatever they call it, you know, the totem pole. And he got to play, and he did pretty well. And he actually had Silverstein on the back of his helmet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so cool.
He had, it just straight up was our Silverstein, like the old logo with the big S. So everyone's, you know, taking pictures of it and tweeting at me being like, yo, this dude's like got it on your helmet in the NHL. So I'm like, that's crazy. So of course I like hit him up and he's like, oh, this is wild. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. You're my favorite band. And so we were in Ottawa playing a show a few years back, whenever that was. And it was a day game. It was like a Sunday day game in Ottawa against the Golden Knights. And he was starting. So he put us on the guest list and we went to the hockey game. God. And we saw him get his first NHL win.
Dude.
So we've been friends ever since.
That's amazing. Yeah, we had a bit of a hiccup. Tristan Jarry didn't get off to a good start game one against the Isles. I'm ready to go here in about 4 hours to lock in. I actually had an offer to skate tonight to play some net. And I was like, first of all, I just started playing goalie and I'm really bad. And also I want to watch the Pens. Dude, it turns out it's very hard. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I actually, despite me being Canadian, I've never played hockey, ever. It's kind of weird, right? You would think that, you know, it would be in my blood a little bit, but here's my hockey story. So I wanted to play hockey when I was a kid, and my dad, who played hockey, was like, okay, yeah, you know, you can't play hockey till you learn to skate. So he refused to like put me on any team or anything. And my mom was like, well, you know, he gets on a team, you know, he'll learn to skate as he goes. My dad's like, absolutely not. You have to learn to skate first. So went to skating lessons. I don't know how old I am. Like, not that young. Like, I'm like probably like 9 or 10, you know? So I'm on the ice with these skates and used skates, right? So I'm on the ice, you know, skating around, and I'm having a hard time. And at the beginning of the skating lesson, they call everyone, like it's a group lesson, right? So they call everyone to the one end of the rink. So I'm at the far end of the boards, and everyone is already down there, and I'm like skating, falling.
Oh, no.
Skating, falling.
Oh, no.
So everyone is staring at me. There's like 4-year-old kids that are skating circles around me, you know? And I'm just, it's like a bad dream. You know, when you're in a dream and you like, you're running away from something, but you keep falling? It was like that. So my mom, watching up in the stands, completely horrified. You know, I get out of there after this horrible skating lesson. I'm in tears. You know, my mom goes, oh, it must be your skates, right? So we go to the national sports, you know, up here in Canada. I get the fucking Bauer or CCM tax, like the, you know, decent skates. We get them sharpened up. To make a long story short, Mike, it wasn't the skates.
Didn't help. Yeah.
And that was my very short hockey career. But I love road hockey.
Yeah, man. It's about that time of year.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah. But that's cool. You're playing. I mean, you know, obviously like you're from Ohio originally, and that's a place that has ice and cold weather. But you know, hockey still has always taken a backseat to other sports in America.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's exciting with the new TV deal here. We'll see if that helps to blow it up a little bit. But I'm up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin these days.
Yeah.
And we're not Minnesota, but we're pretty up there. I skate pretty regularly where like Joe Pavelski grew up and whatnot. So, you know, some of my teammates actually grew up playing against Cole Caulfield, who's so exciting with the Habs, and our dear friend Paul Marks. I'm curious to know what's happening between you two leading into the postseason.
That's right. Yeah. The first round Leafs and Montreal Canadiens, it's going to be, see, I don't take it quite as intensely as he does.
He is
like way more competitive and intense than I am. And yeah, like when like the Leafs beat the Habs, I don't rub it in. I don't text him or anything. I just like let it sit there, because he gets quite into it. So I think this week is going to be a little bit weird between us. I'll be honest, because I'm pretty excited, man, for the Maple Leafs this year with the season they've had. They've finally figured it out. Like, I think this could be our year. Although the Penguins are also looking pretty good.
Yeah. I'm nervous. I'm giving playoff beard. It's impossible to tell, but I'm giving playoff beard another go. See if I can bless the Pens with that. But yeah, man, it's all been exciting. It's weird with crowds too. Like I was watching the Canes last night, and Jeremy was already texting down in North Carolina. I guess he's like at breweries, and he's like, "There's like 2% of human beings wearing masks right now." And then I was watching the Canes last night,
yeah,
and it's just like full house. So, yeah, it's something, but yeah, not to rub it in, but I'm grateful for my vaccine shots and just, you know, a day at a time.
So you've been fully vaccinated now?
Yeah, all of us Pradas have gotten our shots. I had Jeremy was totally fine. I know Mason, our new bass player, he was a little rocked. Giuseppe was a little bit rocked, but so I guess about half of us. It was bizarre, man. I got my second one at like 2 or 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, and by the end of the night, I had like a pretty bad headache, and then I woke up like fever, just feeling like total shit, and I had a nap and it was completely gone. Like I've never gone so low to completely fine within like a 45 minute nap. So the side effects are real and whatnot, but yeah, hopefully excited to,
well,
you know, play shows like that thing you and I have done for a couple years, kind of used to doing, kind of earn a living.
Yes, that's gonna be very nice to have back. No, yeah, the vaccine, I mean, at least you know it's working, right? When you get the side effects, you're like, okay, they didn't give me like a dud vaccine that was like left in the sun or something. I got the AstraZeneca one, just the first dose up here. And because we're quite a bit behind the U.S., which is surprising in Canada. Usually we're on top of this stuff and we have no people. So, but anyway, I got the AstraZeneca one and it straight up kicked my ass for 36 hours.
Oh,
about
really?
About as sick as I've been in a long time. But it's okay, you know. I recovered and I'm fine and everything, but it wasn't a great 36 hours, that's for sure.
Yeah, man, that's the reality of it, I guess. We'll see about, like, I've heard about boosters and whatnot. Like, I don't care. We, like, in Prada land, like, we've all been joking, like, you know, pump me with whatever it is, like, I don't care, just like, you know,
yes,
and any bit of normalcy in terms of gigging and having a beer at a bar.
Get us back out there. So, Mike, well, let's start right there. I mean, you have the live stream you just did, right? What, just over the weekend.
Yeah,
a lot of people are really excited to see you guys back together playing music, even if it's through a screen. How was that? Have you guys done much of that over the last year? And how did it feel kind of to get back with the boys?
Good, man. You know, I think you guys have definitely done more, but we did two towards the end of last year. So it's been kind of nice. We've been kind of like peppering out, seeing one another. Most of our band's in Kansas City, so those guys see each other all the time. But I was out there for a few different instances towards the back of last year between recording our new EP and recording our stream sets. And then I was, you know, back out there to do this most recent stream over this most recent weekend. So, yeah, it's been good to see the boys. It's just trying to be as health conscious and responsible as possible as far as keeping our bubbles small, keeping, as few humans in and out of the studio as possible. Yeah, I mean, I've been reminded that the sort of like awe and wonder of walking into a studio for like a first session for a new project is still one of the greatest feelings for me personally. One of the things I most love about playing in Prada and playing music. So, grateful to have that. Grateful that all of our guys have been healthy. No one has for sure had COVID. No one has had any family members, pass away or have to deal with the sickness. So just all, you know, again, day at a time. I'm very schedule oriented and I'm very not day at a time, but it's taken like fucking 14 or 15, however many months of this pandemic for me to realize that I need to, you know, take an hour at a time, day at a time to try and achieve any semblance of happiness or contentment. So
totally, man.
Yeah, man, that's me.
Well, I've known you for a long time, Mike. I mean, you know, we've done shows, and I feel like in a way I've sort of watched you grow up. I'm a bit older than you, but you know, when you were, you know, when we did that first show together, I think I remember at the Cleveland House of Blues back in like 2006. You know, you were this, you know, you guys all were these like little kids, and now you know I've watched you grow up into mature adults, and kind of you've found your own personalities, you've moved to your own cities, and you've, you know, to have your own relationships and everything. But, you know, knowing your personality, you know, you can be a bit of an introvert in some ways. Like, I feel like this, you're either like kind of in your wheelhouse where you're like, this is maybe the break I needed, or talking about being more schedule oriented, maybe this is a nightmare. So how has it been really for the last 14 months?
So early on, it was awful. We were at the Palladium in Worcester, which you very well know, as do we. We were supporting We Came as Romans. We were loaded in. I went to this little vegan spot around the corner there, and we were basically just kind of looking at our phones, being like, "Is this going to get called off?" We were about to go into New York after that. It sounded like that was already going to be getting called off, and then it got all called off. Load up the bandwagon, come back to the Midwest and deal with it. The first few weeks I would just sit here in my house and just stare out the window. Like, I couldn't be motivated to read, I couldn't be motivated to write, I didn't pick up a guitar for months. So it was pretty brutal. It's as much as I do consider myself a bit of an introvert, but I like to have everything at pace and a very real energy around me, for me, like almost in observance. And when everything is shut down, it was a bit of a panic for me. And all the same, I was able to get into a rhythm, find things to do, new hobbies to explore and whatnot. The band started doing a podcast, so that was like a healthy means of communication between the boys and me, and having a laugh, figure out things to do, way to spend time, way to try to get any money in my bank account as far as being a functioning human adult. So that's been it, man. And then next thing you know, we were cooking up the EP songs, the stream songs, and moving our way through winter. And it's been, for me, like, either time feels extremely slow or extremely fast. So yeah, it's just that.
It's you hit the nail on the head with that one. I'm looking just at your dates here with We Car back in, you know, you guys were just getting started too, right? You were what, six shows in? Montreal was the last one. And you had a day off on March 12th and then March 13th, supposed to be a massive show at the Worcester Palladium, and it's all shut down. And it really was, it was similar to us. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina for our last show, and you sit home and you're like, I'm not supposed to be here. You look at your laminate. I still had mine attached to at the hip. I'm like, oh, California today, motherfucker. Like, what am I doing sitting here in my house? And it was a very depleting feeling. And I'll tell you, man, March 2020 was the slowest, longest, horrible month probably of my life.
True, straight up. And I won't front, like, Silverstein got, you guys got screwed more than anyone. Like, when we were doing the podcast, like, we talked to Caleb Beartooth, and like, they were in a good position because they were just ending the record cycle. Like, we had just started our record cycle but did our headline tour. You guys were, and I know you guys just had a hell of a time in Australia right before that.
Yep, exactly.
So shit has really sucked for us, but I know it was even worse for you guys, so I'm not going to pretend it's all woe is me.
It's been bad. It's been bad for all of us. Let's talk about this zombie EP, the second one. This is a cool thing. You know, you guys, I feel like with the last record, The Act, you guys had a real great step forward creatively. It's a record I enjoyed a lot. And this is like a different kind of thing. Like, you know, you had a lot of success with it. What's the song? Is it called Chemical? I believe you had some radio success with that tune. And now here you are, like, had a little time to reflect back, and you're giving this EP really directly to your super fans, because the first zombie EP was just so loved and coveted by those people.
Yeah, man. It's you know, we're proud of the act, our last record. We are really excited that it was starting to get a push with radio and is still receiving great numbers and climbing. So, you know, we worked hard. I don't think it's purely coincidence because we have worked hard at this, but it's nice to see that the act is still growing alongside doing new zombie songs. Like across the board, like obviously, you know, Jeremy and I are original members and we're around for the original zombie EP, but between right. like the label and us, like none of us expected it to do this well as far as selling all the vinyl variants. The stream numbers have been spectacular and we're really grateful. It's amazing that the act is still pushing. You know, it's something we're proud of and something we were hell-bent about putting in front of everyone on earth until the pandemic occurred. I think we're still hopefully, you know, again, get out and get gigging again sooner and later. But for us, or at least for me, from my perception, it's time to keep eyes focused on the act while also, you know, testing what heavy is to us and trying to make people shut the fuck up who always complain about it's soft. Like, it's what we want to do. Like, and if we want to do heavy, we'll do heavy. And proof is that the Z2 song. So I'm not here saying that it's the heaviest thing you're ever going to hear, but it's the heaviest Prodigos, I think.
When did you start talking about this project?
So I'm pretty sure it was all Kyle that was said that he wanted to do a 7-inch and just do two new zombie songs when the pandemic hit, as far as like, oh, well, let's work on stuff. Like, here's tenure of the zombie EP. Let's do two new songs. And then that was also under the guise of being on tour again in July, which of course didn't happen. And
yeah, right.
By that point, it was like, well, I'm not going to say like it's easy for Prada to make zombie songs, because it's not like, you know, we write a demo and say, all right, it's done. Like, we work hard to challenge ourselves and to make the best possible product from the idea. It's very natural. It's very in our wheelhouse. Like, I was recording an interview yesterday, and if like someone was like, hey, gun to the head, write 5 more zombie songs lyrically, it's like, done. it's a lot of work, you know, and I try to open the door as much as possible for John in the band, who produces the band, to say like, do better, you know, you can do something better here. I'm not seeing visually what you're trying to do lyrically here, you know, take more time at it, have another stab at it. And that's all good and great. And that's all in the spirit of challenging ourselves and making the best songs. But I'm comfortable writing fictitious songs about the zombie apocalypse, turns
right.
out.
Right, totally. Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, that it's Kyle, you know, that you said, you know, obviously hasn't been in the band. He wasn't in the band when the first zombie EP was released. He's taken a really active role in the songwriting along with John, your keyboard player, and they both live in Kansas City. That's an interesting thing, right? For them to come into it and say, like, convince you and Jeremy, hey, like, we want to do this thing kind of as like a throwback, because obviously they were fans of the band before they joined, or they at least were admirers of the band in some you know, way. What does that happen when you have that conversation and they say, we have this idea, and you and Jeremy, like, were you on the fence about doing it, or were you like, no, this like maybe is kind of what we need to maybe have some of those old fans kind of remember that we're still here?
I mean, that wasn't on like the forefront of my mind when the idea was proposed. Like, I didn't realize that was going to bring a lot of people back and see people actively saying like, oh, I haven't tuned into the band for a long time, because, you know, for 11 years, I've been still grinding my ass off, sure, as are the other boys, to write the best material as possible and come up with a record like the act that we're so proud of. But it really has brought people back, and that's really exciting. But I mean, I really didn't have any reluctance to it. There was no part of me that was like, hey, this is a bad idea. Like, I think someone could have proposed we write the stupidest thing ever, and I would have said, sure, and we could nix it later, because, like, again, I'm sitting here in my living room just being like, what the fuck's happening? What is my life? I wasn't put off by it or really reluctant by any stretch. I was excited about it. I knew I could do it and do it well. I think the biggest thing for me is just that I didn't want to hear the bullshit. The first is better. The first is better.
Right.
You know, it's not a competition. It's not a comparison. It's living off the back of a theme that the Devil Wears Prada has installed within, you know, our aesthetic, our world. But it's not like a game, you know, it's not like one outscores the other, you know? So I didn't want to deal with that. And I think we've done a good job, at least from our voices, to say like, hey, no part of this is to say this is heavier or this is better. It's just more fun. You know, I mean, zombie songs are, I think, the most straight on, least like what I call thinker material is possible. You know, the beauty of it is that you can completely turn your brain off, almost the same as like an action or a horror film. You know, you're not questioning your life. Right. You're just consuming and, you know.
Well, totally, totally. And I've actually found that when we've done concept records and stuff in the past, that it is a lot easier when you have kind of one direction or one subject matter or whatever. You're in this one place in your mind. It's like, okay, this is what I'm writing about, and these are all the things I can write about in this place. And okay, five songs for an EP, let's say, five ideas. All right, let's go. It's somehow harder when you can write about anything. It's really weird, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, you're completely right. I think that, you know, I don't know if you've ever, I know you've had this question before, but when people ask you if your work is cathartic, and it's like, oh yeah, what the fuck else would I be doing then? So I think what can be fun, and like, you know, even like Silverstein doing short songs forever ago and whatnot, like it's fun, and as a musician, to turn your brain off and just like click into that mode, you know, and click into a mode that's like actively and intentionally non-cathartic, you know, like there's a level there. There's emotion and putting on a performance, and obviously all the effort that goes into, as you well know, fucking yelling your brains out for for you years and years, even before, or longer than I have. But it can be cool to have the actual like constraints rather than having the world at your fingertips in a way.
I know. No, and I feel like that's like a weird thing about making a record in the pandemic, or even, you know, some of the live stream stuff that we've done. You know, like we did an entire three-part thing about like getting abducted by aliens. Like, this was just the kind of thing that's like, okay, we're not, like, obviously the world is in disarray in so many ways that if we were to actually like go in the studio and write something, like, this is going to be painful. Right? The amount of like thinking and stress and like, you know, getting to the bottom of all these thoughts in our brains. It's like, maybe we just need to, you know, do something like kind of stupid. And that is very true, that in a way that can be cathartic, right? You know, to just be like, I'm just, you know, doing hood rat shit with my friends kind of thing in a musical perspective, rather than like, okay, I'm going to put all of my emotion and feeling and shit I really care about into this, which I know, Mike, you've done on all the, you know, full length records that Prod has done.
Yeah, man. I mean, I kind of touching on it earlier, as far as like, I do consider myself somewhat of an introvert. I value, I'm not like uber private, but I like to, there's some focus there on my privacy, and I maintain a certain distance with social media and whatnot, but I need the world to be happening for me to create. Like, I feel like a lot of my creative process is almost just like being at an airport and watching people and commenting and observing.
Right.
So yeah, to your point, like early on, as far as like, if it were to be in a studio and like, oh, right, like a full length record, like in terms of your thoughts and whatnot, it's like, I don't have any thoughts. Nothing's happening. Like, a lot's happening, that people are dying and this fucking virus is, you know, ruining the global, more than obviously the economy. And obviously there's so much more important things, but there's nothing for me to comment on. There's nothing for me to feel in the world because everyone's stuck at home.
That's a good point too. yeah, man. I mean, you brought up money and the financial side of this. And obviously when you are six shows into a tour, you know, there's some expectation that at in another month you're going to come home with some money to live on for the rest of the year or whatever. Has that been a struggle, you know, for you living up there in Milwaukee? You know, you have a place and everything. You touched on it earlier. I know you were even doing some work outside of the band. I mean, there's a reality there, you know, as a musician, that's a working musician, that's like, okay, well, when we can't tour anymore, some people have lost 90% of their income or more. How's that been for you?
You know, it feels like I want to caution myself as to if I'm being ungrateful to complain about this, because I feel like a lot of people would, the rebuttal would be, well, you're lucky to play music as a living. But it's like, yeah, but it's not like I don't work hard at it, or like it just falls in my lap, you know, or that like I'm whisked around in a private plane or something, you know, like right. playing shows and everything's catered to me. Like I work hard at it, and I feel like, you know, I earn it, you know, so people, you know, we've been stepped on as artists. And again, it's not to say woe is me, we're the only ones as musicians, primarily thinking of bartenders and people in the restaurant business, people in, of course, the venue business, independent venues. But it's like, yeah, I mean, money's real, man. And it's like, I'm not sitting here complaining, being like, oh, I can't play shows and earn my living, but I still just sit here like I'm working, you know, like I picked up part-time work with a beverage distributor here in the Milwaukee area. And I drive around merchandising products and energy drinks and beer and booze and whatnot. And I actually really quite like it. And it gives my personality type a very real sense of fulfillment, which is important to me. And has done something great for my mental health over the course of this last, since I started working the job in like September, I think. But yeah, man, like it's, you know, in terms of like being an adult and a human, it's like, yeah, I'm complaining because I'm not able to earn what is expected of me as a you know, a vocalist in a professional band. But it's also like, I'm not just sitting here complaining about not getting checks or something. Like I've had to make ends meet. I'm not fucking, you know, I'm not above it. I'm not above working like the rest of the world does. So it's a lot. It's a lot to grapple with, but I feel like I'm coming out in a better place in a number of different ways. And we'll see about end of year in terms of making a living again.
Yeah. Thank you for your honesty with that. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people don't want to necessarily kind of like admit to it. You know, when you're in, when you're an artist and you're saying, oh, like I had to go back and get a real, you know, like that's not the kind of thing people want to talk about. That kind of, it takes a little bit of the romance of the artistry out of it, but it's reality. So thank you for sharing that. I mean, I got to figure though, like I know early on, this is a true story. I don't know if I've ever told you this. We played in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater when we were still on Victory. And Craig from Rise Records came out to the show. And I had only met him a couple times, but I knew he was a big Silverstein fan. And he was really, you know, interested in signing us after we were done with Victory, which he did. And I remember we were eating at that, you know, I'm sure you remember the Hawthorne Theater in Portland. There's like a Mexican like burrito shop right in the parking lot. It's actually pretty good. So yeah, we were sitting there, he bought me a burrito, and then he literally, I think we were playing with you guys actually, and he literally took something out of his pocket and showed me a check for you guys that he was going to give to you that had like a pretty decent amount of money on it. I don't know. I don't know if you guys ever got it, but I remember thinking to myself like, holy shit, like this is a younger band that's like actually getting paid from their record company, which for us being on Victory for four albums, we were like, holy crap, sign us up. Like we actually can make money from selling albums.
Yeah. I mean, I've mentioned it lightly here and there before, but like, obviously, you know, a day to remember, also close friends of both of our bands and that, which we, consider peers. And, you know, one of our first proper tours was a Data Remember and us with Silverstein. And we were very, very lucky in that we got positive message from Rise before we started shopping our band to other record labels, primarily Victory, in terms of actually making money. But I know Hawthorne Theater very well. Great record store a little further down the road there. And there's the grocery store. I'm going to give away the secret, but there's the grocery store like immediately across the way. And if you
Fred
have to
Meyer,
use,
baby.
Yep, exactly. And if you have to use a toilet, wink, wink, you have to go there because otherwise there's no backstage bathroom. So you don't want to use like a stall, you know, while you're, in terms of pulling back the veil or the romance of artistry, nothing can put you in your place like Hawthorne.
That's right.
Fucking sick shows.
That's right. No, I'll just say it. I've taken plenty of shits in that Fred Meyer.
I was weaving around it, but yep, same.
Yeah, if you live in Portland and you go to shows at the Hawthorne Theater and you want to meet your favorite bands, just stand outside of the Fred Meyer bathroom. Sorry, I'm saying washroom. I'm Canadian, and you can meet your favorite artists. Not awkward at all.
Nope. Just how we draw it up.
That's a city I miss a lot, and like I miss so many cities from not touring in 14 months, and a lot of these places I haven't been to in even longer. And man, Portland is a great city.
Dude, I mean, hitting the press cycle, putting out a record or an EP. Like yesterday was my block of Australia.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And like I'll be honest, like the first few times I went to Australia, I wasn't the biggest fan. I didn't really get the culture at all. Some tours are definitely way better than others in terms of being pampered is nice, you know, when you're around the world. But I miss it terribly. I had like, we were so lucky that our last shows was the portion of Canada. I actually, Dave Stevens from WeCar, he had his hockey gear with him. So him and I got to skate in Detroit. But then I got to play some shinny in Toronto with our dear mutual pal, Chris Cosentino. So Chris nice. And I, yeah, Cosy and I went out and played some hockey, and it was like a bucket list thing for me to be able to play some puck north of the border in the promised land. So that was a huge upside. I love Canada so much, and I've wanted to spend more time Western Canada as well. And
sure.
Yeah, I've actually, when I mentioned that to Paul, Mark, and Bill, they both kind of looked at me in a way like, pardon? Like, but yeah, man, I mean, you know, you guys slay Germany and Europe so hard. And I, like, there are a lot of bands, you know, that are like, oh God, we have to go to Europe. And, you know, we've shared those experiences, one of the last tours we got to do. And like, you guys are like the biggest fans of Germany, and we're like the second biggest fans of Germany, yes. I think. So like we've mentioned before, like publicly, like our deep passionate love for Chris Kindle markets and going to eat or going to drink Glühwein and collecting mugs and whatnot. So like
100%.
Dude, yeah. Like it's, there's little else I'd rather be doing in the world than be in Europe with the Soberstein boys and having the times that we had over there and the adult Christmas market in Hamburg and just some
dude,
fucking awesome times.
I still have pictures on my phone of the male stripper.
Andre. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I was actually looking through my phone at old pictures, and I have like, it's, you know, when you're scrolling through, you know, on your camera roll and it's like, you can tell it's all like all the same lighting. I must have 100 photos of that guy on my phone.
Like in the grid.
Yeah, in the grid of Andre. It's like so funny. But that, I'll never forget that. And, you know, Banana Chosen, the absolutely real German holiday tradition. Occasional holiday tradition.
that we celebrate.
That we even celebrated this past year, despite us not being on tour and not being in Germany, we still celebrated Banana Chosen. And that's love right there.
Yeah, I got I got Josh Bill Evans' record that I had. I got to shop around like Ontario record stores to minimize shipping. But yeah, banana shows and legendary. I actually have that Hamburg day, and I was hammered, and it's just, there's a picture that I was just exchanging with PK that him and I are dressed the exact same accidentally. And then we did that roller coaster, and I was like holding hands with Josh on the roller coaster. Like I'm like hammered eating a pizza. I have a picture of that in my phone. Like seriously,
I know,
one of the best nights of my life. We got, there were beverages.
Well, I love touring with you guys, and sharing the bus in Europe was so good. But one of my favorite things that you guys do, we brought banana shows into your world. What you brought into our world is ladies' night.
Yeah,
not ladies' night. There's no girls around. No. We're too old for that. Late 80s night, ladies' night, where basically, it's a dance party on the bus featuring mostly late 80s tunes, and you just let loose, typically on a Thursday night. Usually, you guys like to do it?
A Roadie Friday.
Roadie Friday. Okay.
Roadie Friday is going to be excellent. You know what's funny is now that I'm thinking about it, because I knew when you started saying about banana shows and we'd have to talk late 80s, ladies' night.
Yes.
Is that we've never actually spelled it out, but it should definitely be L'80. 80s.
Yes.
Ladies. But yeah, you know, like very much to the credit of Ben Wilcox for sure. I think that might have been his idea, but you know, he knows the jams, and just an all around great time with a lot of dudes without a woman in sight. Because we're losers.
That's yeah, because we're losers, or we're with women in our lives. But whatever, either way. But yeah, man. Ben Wilcox is a dude. That's for sure, man. He's a one and only kind of dude. There's only one of him in the world, and that's
certainly the cigarettes would have killed him. Anyone else.
Yeah, that many in a row. That's a lot of cigarettes.
Yep.
Oh man, that's great. Well, I should tell people that the Zombie 2 EP comes out May 21st. That's just 3 days away from right now when we're speaking. Three of the songs already released. What are the other two like? I haven't heard them. Are they different? Are they kind of right down the middle? What can people expect from the last two?
So we released Nightfall. Or no, Termination we released first, and that's the very middle of the road song for me, as far as it touches here, touches there. Forlorn is coming up. We're dropping more teasers right now. I would say my favorite song on the EP, Nora, is very Gojira Meshuga with a big old High on Fire moment towards the back half.
Okay.
Definitely kind of touches on some metal that Prada has not, and I can see what Kyle's listening to tune wise. So I think that one's interesting. I think that the ending is a solid kick in the pants to conclude the EP. So yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's just it's turn your brain off 5 metal songs. So I, you know, we've been sitting on it for a while. As well, as far as, you know, usually, you know, you record a record, you get it mixed and mastered pretty quickly. Artwork is happening. Like this one, we took our time due to the pandemic, and we made sure that everything was 110%. Every detail was looked after. Yeah, we're almost there. Folks can almost check it out here coming up. But the stream was awesome. Teasing a certain video right now that will also be dropping on Friday. So I really look forward to it. The visuals that we've concocted, as far as Chris Commons, who directs the streams as well and whatnot, like our whole creative team is just the best. Nice. And, yeah, they're killing it. And this thing is almost out in the light of day, you know, streaming on Spotify and Apple and all that jazz.
100%. No, somebody asked earlier, someone was like, please ask Mike about Nora. And I was like, Nora, like the 90s hardcore band? Carl Severson was
Carl,
in?
Yeah.
Carl used to manage our band.
Right.
About 10 years ago. So I was like, Nora, that's random. Like, is Mike a huge Nora fan? And now I see, yeah, it's track four on the EP. Yeah. So now I understand why that was being asked about. So that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, we you know, that's funny. I didn't actually think of Ferret Nora. I think their song was called No One Takes Pictures of the Drummer or something like that.
Yes.
Nora's just a character on the first Zombie EP, the final track on that is like a kind of slower, jammier song called Survivor. And I didn't give the character a name, but it's this man on a farm that's fending off the apocalypse and his wife died. And all in all, total hopelessness. Nora is a character I also created and a bit of a narrative around, who's just this woman that is like absolutely battered to no end, and struggling to survive and basically doing so by means of never standing still, never staying in the same place and trusting her instincts. So, that's the story of Nora. But musically what Kyle did with that one is also pretty silly rhythmically. So, cool. Excited to listen or for folks to listen. Yes. I've heard the song.
Yeah, that's funny. No, you bring up Nora and their song, Nobody Takes Pictures of the Drummer. Well, funny story. Nora comes through and plays like a local show in our area. This is probably in the early 2000s or even late 90s, probably early 2000s. So Billy was quite a photographer back in those days. You know, he still is, I guess. You know, but he would take a lot of go to shows and take pictures of bands. So he really wanted to take a picture of the Nora drummer because they have the song Nobody Takes Pictures of the Drummer.
Naturally.
So
yeah.
Bill is, you know, taking pictures on the side of the stage, and then he goes to try to take a picture of the drummer and somehow unplugs the guitar amp. And the amp turns off, and the guitar player's like, what's going on? And everyone's looking at Bill, and he's just got the camera taking a picture of the drummer. And then Bill's like, damn it, that's why nobody takes pictures of the drummer.
Dude, just frozen. I thought, yeah, I haven't heard that story before, but I thought that like maybe the drummer was going to look over and be like, dude, we named the song that, and now all anyone does is take pictures of me.
Right.
Like, that would be what I predict.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, let me tell you this right here. So you can see here, see these pink pictures on my phone?
You found it.
That's Andre, the stripper. That's how many, it's not 100. I embellished that a little bit, but I've got... Here's a picture of Kyle Cypress looking at Andre on the stage right there. Dude, I don't know. I took a picture of Kyle, and I gotta find one. Oh, I have a video on here. I just want to make sure there's no actual nudity. Here's one of Andre going upside down. Right.
Fucking
there.
Athlete, dude.
Santa Pauly.
Yep.
That's right. It was the Hamburg
adult.
Oh, that's got his butt. I'm not going to show that one. I got videos. I got it all on here. So, yes.
I just got a text from Jeremy. I think it was from Jeremy here. It says, MH killing it on Twitch because people are asking me about ladies' night on Discord. So, but on Andre, dude, that's actually the closest I've ever been to a strip club. I came to realize a little while later. Like, I've never done like a bachelor party at a strip club or anything. But so the only time, I guess we should also clarify that Andre is a man.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, tell someone their gender or something, but, you know. Just like kind of speedo vibe.
Yep.
Big old hog down there.
I mean, it could have been a potato, but I assume it was his real penis. I'm not sure.
The Germans, dude. The Germans.
Yeah. No. That's the thing. Yeah. Like we wouldn't go to a strip club, like a real one. We would go to that though. Right. That's kind of our vibe. I haven't been to a strip club in a very long time either.
It's shame.
Very long. Shame. A very, very long time. Not really my thing. But but Andre at the Christmas, the adult Christmas market was pretty funny.
Dude, that's straight up. Say I watch enough Sopranos to get all of my fill of strip clubs on there. So that's also been pandemic time killer when yeah. hockey's been off.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Sopranos, I was a huge fan of it when it was on TV. Like I remember seeing the last episode, and I won't spoil it if anyone hasn't seen it. And they'll like, you know, everyone's like, what the hell? Like, so I was there for all that. And I haven't went back and watched it. I've been meaning to, but I've caught a few episodes like here and there. And man, I don't know if it's aged particularly well socially with some of this, you know what I mean? Some of the stuff in there, you're like, oh damn. Like, I don't think they could say that anymore.
Without a doubt. I'll say, not to get myself canceled here, but there are some jokes in there that I have told friends in private that I wouldn't tell you here on a live stream to the internet. So,
we'll
save those.
I can only imagine. That show was good, but also like, wow, there's probably a few big oofs in there these days.
Yeah, dude.
So I opened up the forum here to some questions, but I'll be honest, I'm having so much fun talking to you that I haven't really been keeping an eye on it. But there are some questions here. Let me find a good one. Was there any thought on a Dead Throne 10-year tour before COVID happened? Have you guys done much of that stuff? Anniversary tours and stuff? Is that something that you're feeling, Mike?
I just read, I don't want anyone's big old hog anywhere near my ladies' night, so I'm gonna take that as far as reading a comment section. There was, it was very, very real. We didn't have rooms booked, but we were 110% planning on wrapping up, finishing our Dead Throne tour probably last month.
Right. Wow.
So yeah, it was real.
Okay. All right. Let's see here.
But yeah, to also answer your question, sorry, man. We did with Roots Above 10-year tour. I think that was 2009 or 2008.
Oh, the record came out in 2009. So I assume that's probably when you did it.
Yeah. Actually, we actually did it a year early. So it was a 9-year, but you know, semantics.
It's true. And yeah, and I, like, for our 20-year tour, I was like, okay, well, now it's going to be 21 years. So I was like, you got to just put a little line through it and write 21, right? Like, just for LOLs, you know? But
you won't hear any arguing from me.
No, I mean, who really cares anyway? there was another question here, too. Somebody was asking about kind of your inspiration with writing. I think that's interesting because you are an avid reader, writer, you know, creative person, I'd say more so than a lot of singers and bands. So do you have any like big, either, you know, people that you like to read all the time or anything that you can pass on that you think other people should read?
To Taylor, there's one that I picked up via Buddy, a Norwegian writer that wrote, I forget if it's 6 or 7 book series. I haven't actually finished it. But it's called My Struggle. His name is Karlov Nosgard. Again, Norwegian writer. Lengthy series that I hope to finish probably by the end of this year. But I would certainly recommend that to any creative writers or really anyone that enjoys literature. That's been a big one for me. I kind of see his writing is sort of, it's been explained as by divulging his most susceptible and vulnerable moments, you explore your own in a very amazing and, I don't know, the connection there is so real, but I'd certainly recommend that. I was saying to someone yesterday that I've always been under the sort of idea that for every 1 hour that you create, you should take about 10 hours consuming. So as far as my writing and creative process, I'm very much of the mindset that you know, listen to however many records, however many songs to write your own song. It's not how a lot of people function, but to anyone curious about my process, that's my world for sure.
I like that. That's interesting to kind of quantify that, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's cool. This is a question from Matt Farcash here, which is I kind of have the same question. You know, with the success, you know, of the Zombie 2 sound, obviously people are really excited. Do you think that that sound is going to find its way into, you know, future full length albums? Or do you think it's going to be more of a continuation of maybe the sound that was on The Act, or do you not know yet?
You know, we've talked and we're writing right now and demoing. For me, like whenever someone or people are like, oh, they're going heavy again, I seriously, and this is why it's best not to read comments, I would just be like, listen to the thread. Like if you thought that Prada went soft or Prada doesn't write anything heavy, I think The Act could quite possibly contend with the heaviest moments of Z2.
Right.
And the thread is a song off of The Act. So, yeah, it's sprinkling in. Like, you know, we've obviously seen what A Day to Remember has done over the course of all these years where, you know, they have these huge, these amazing pop, these hooks that Jeremy just seems to cook up just like that. But then you have a song like Second Sucks from them, and you see that song played live and it's just like the fucking ceiling just blows off the building. I wouldn't say it's anything like that. We don't have a pop consciousness like they do, but there's certainly going to be more moments like Chemical, and there's certainly going to be more moments like The Thread. So in terms of how Z2 informs further projects for the Dead Horse Prod, I think it's definitely there. And I would cite The Thread on The Act in terms of us throwing in heavy with also what we consider rock songs.
All right. And a final question here from C-Doz. Were you guys serious about a potential Space EP 2? Is that possible?
Definitely. You know, what's funny is that once we release Z2, and again, I've been going through the press cycle and, you know, like I was mentioning, the Australian phone calls and Zooms and whatnot. I didn't think about Zombie 3 until we put out or announced Zombie 2. Like, people are like, so is there going to be a third one in 10 years? I was like, oh, I didn't think of that. And the same with, like, as far as doing Space 2, I could definitely see it happening. You know, like, it's not like we wrote Z2 as like, oh, we need to do this to win fans over or something. We did it because it's fun and people like it, you know? It's fun to challenge yourself in that way. And I could definitely see myself, you know, earlier I mentioned, like, gun to the head, I could write 5 more zombie songs. Same, like, with space songs, you know? There's a whole, no pun intended, a whole universe there of ideas. So cheesy. I regretted that coming out of my mouth. There's so much there to explore. So I can definitely see it. We've been playing Planet A from the Space EP pretty religiously alongside the rest of the quote unquote hits that we've been playing for all these years. So I don't know. We'll see if when COVID-21 hits or COVID-20 hits and we're locked up again, like, all right, boys, what are the themes for the second Space EP?
Love it. I love that. I hope it happens. Well, Mike, thanks for doing this, man. Good luck to Max Legacy and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think the way it shakes out could be a Leafs-Pens Stanley Cup final. It's possible. So we'll see.
Head of divisions. We shall see. Dude, I love you. I miss you so much, as well as, of course, the other fellas that we keep up with. And we're down to play shows. There were talks, more than just talks, as far as playing shows together. But sending my best up north. I miss Canada so much. And happy you guys are all staying safe. And yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on.
Well, Mike, when the border opens back up, you know, I'm just outside Detroit. So I'm literally 10 minutes from downtown Detroit now on the Canadian side. So let's do it. Let's get together. It's really not that far.
I've made buddies with a fella that works for the NHL, and he's a Habs fan, but he was waving in front of me like, dude, Nick, when the border opens up, like, I can take you to the Situation Center in Toronto. Like, let's do a Leafs game. I'm like, dude, like, I'll fucking like sneak over the border illegally to do that if I could, like, right now. So, like, yeah, don't tempt me with a good time, aka anything hockey or Canada. So
just wear a helmet, put a couple sticks in the passenger seat, and just when you get to the border, just say, yeah, I'm a hockey player, and they'll just wave you right through.
Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah.
Like, quiz me. I'll see if I can earn my way in.
I love it, Mike. Well, thanks again for doing this. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and yeah, man, hope to see you soon for real.
You too, pal.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
And there it is with my good pal, Mike from The Devil Wears Prada. I got to say, listening back to that hockey talk, man, that's embarrassing. The poor Maple Leafs, the poor Pittsburgh Penguins, although Mike was right. I was wrong. But hey, there's always next year. I want to thank Mike so much for coming on the show. And don't forget, Z2, the new EP from The Devil Wears Prada, is out now. This thing smokes. Holy, it is so good. So much great music to digest. I am going to play a tune in just a second, but I want to remind you guys again, you can always get in touch with me. You can hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read all my email. If you like the show, write a review on iTunes, preferably 5 stars. And of course, make sure you hit the subscribe button, because we are here every single week. Some great episodes coming up very shortly. All right, I'll leave you with a tune. Here is Forlorn by The Devil Wears Prada on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time. Yeah.